James chapter 2, verse 23. And the scripture was fulfilled, which saith, Abraham believed God, and it was imputed unto him for righteousness, and he was called the friend of God. The friend of God. Here's what's so amazing about this statement. This is not Abraham saying this about himself, or even James saying this about Abraham. This is God saying this about Abraham. He is my friend. I know every Christian in here would say, Pastor, God is my friend. The question is, how would God respond to that? Would God say, that man is my friend? We all like to claim certain people as friends. It's interesting as we go through life. We've all seen people that try to use a name for their benefit. That man is my friend. Especially someone of wealth or power, position, importance, or fame. He is my friend. Last week, my wife and family went up to a wedding in Illinois, and there they spent some time. Brother Angel, we've been friends for many years. That is a friend. Brother Angel, what a man of God. I appreciate his stand, his stance, his ministry. Amen. But while they're up there, they visited First Baptist Church of Hammond. And Brother Wilkerson and I've met on several occasions. That man has an amazing ministry, and I've often said that God will only give a pastor the size of the congregation as he can remember their names. So if you can only remember 20 names, God's only allow you to pastor 20 people. Brother Wilkerson has a phenomenal memory. He pastors 6,000 or 7,000 people, but he remembers the names of each individual person. So when my son walked up and introduced himself, he immediately said, oh, Brother Thompson, missionary that used to be in Mexico, pastor in Austin, Texas, tell him, I said, howdy. And Chris was impressed. And I said, Chris, you need to be impressed with his memory, not with our relationship. We have an acquaintance. I am an acquaintance of Brother Wilkerson. I'm a friend of his youth pastor, Abdel Judah. Now, he's my friend. Brother Wilkerson is a friend to the world. But we are simple acquaintances. And be careful, because I think most would have to say of God, there's more of an acquaintance than an actual friendship, an actual closeness. And God said of Abraham, this is my friend. Now, as I looked up in the dictionary, always a good thing to do, speaking of friendship, it used this terminology, two people attached to each other, affection. No matter what dictionary I looked at, what definition I looked for, all of them included affection. It says affection arising from mutual esteem. Now think about that, not in the light of the fact that Abraham appreciated, loved, and served God, but rather that God was a friend of Abraham, meaning there was an affection rising from the esteem of a man, Abraham. Go with me to Genesis chapter 12. We're going to read a few verses here and study quickly through the life of Abraham, briefly. Look what it says in Genesis chapter 12, verse 1. Now the Lord had said unto Abraham, get thee out of thy country and from thy kindred, from thy father's house, unto a land that I will show thee. And I will make thee a great nation. I will bless thee and make thy name great. Thou shalt be a blessing. We read these because we've read scriptures so often, we just fly over, skim over the top without meditating on the fact this is God, the creator of the universe, the omnipotent, the omniscient one, the unchangeable one, says of Abraham, I will make of thee a great nation. If God spent a few minutes with you today and said, I just wanted you to know, I'm going to make of you a great nation, that would be quite the meeting. And I'm going to bless thee. Matter of fact, I'm going to bless those that bless you. I'm going to curse those that curse you. This is a pretty close friendship. I will bless them that bless thee, curse them that curse thee. And then look what it says. This is an incredible promise. In thee shall all the families of the earth be blessed. Do you think there's a pretty close relationship here just by these three verses alone? Do you see a mutual affection?
Now, this was not strictly Abraham loving God, but God loving Abraham. So when we talk about an attachment between two people, first of all, this is an attachment based on affection. You know why you got married? Attached by affection, unless you got married in the Middle East. That was parental decree or guidance. You chose that person, and that affection should remain the same. Verse 4, so Abraham departed as the Lord had spoken unto him. Now think about this for a minute. Once again, we casually read this. Abraham is leaving all. Remember, we consider him the father of the Jews, but he didn't start out that way. He was just a common citizen of Ur in a pagan city, an extremely pagan city, a pagan nation with a pagan family. And God speaks to him. He sees something in him, and Abraham's going to obey by faith. I love my wife, but something unbelievable. Most ladies are going to have to leave at least something when they get married in order to follow that man. But my wife is unique in the sense that she has left all, and when I say all, I mean everything. I don't know if you guys have noticed, that girl is Southern Illinois from the bottom of her foot to the top of her head. She breathes Illinois, she sleeps Illinois, she thinks Illinois. She is Southern Illinois. Last week when they went up, my wife, the first 15 years of our marriage, used to jog all the time, and then she messed up her knee and stopped jogging. Now, one of the things you won't find my wife doing now is jogging. So I get a text from Illinois, and my wife is out for an early morning walk. And I wanted to make sure that was my wife. Because there are other ways of exercise, but that is no longer her primary way of exercise. But something about Illinois rejuvenated her. It healed her knee. She just breathed the air and shazam. Her feet are healed. Her knee is healed. Her life is healed. She left that to marry me, moved to Texas. And then 18 months later, she sold everything she had. We put in on a crate everything we wanted to take with us to Argentina, mostly books. And moved, she set up. 5 years later, she sold everything again. This time, we didn't take a crate. We took suitcases and moved to the States. Lived here for 6 months, and then we moved to Mexico. My wife, 10 years later, sold everything again. Now, you tell me how many women are going to sell everything they have and change countries three different times? You say, Pastor, three different times. I thought it was two, Mexico and Argentina. No, Texas, for someone from Illinois, is a different country. How many thankful Texans that you're part of a different country? Amen. How many thankful that you're not from Southern Illinois? Amen. There is a mutual affection that we see here. Now, that starts at salvation. We read that. We know that back in our text that Abraham believed God and it was imputed to him for righteousness. That's where that affection starts. Abraham wasn't born with that. We naturally aren't born with that. But after salvation, if you don't have an affection for God, you've got a spiritual problem. Some of you can remember back in the world and the things you used to do, and you didn't go to church and you didn't read this book and you didn't pray. But when you got born again, suddenly you wanted to be in God's house. Suddenly you were interested in reading this book. Suddenly you wanted to spend time in God's house with God's people, hearing God's word, visiting with the Holy Spirit of God. And if you don't have it, and if that's waned a little bit, you've got to command Colossians 3:2 that says, set your affection on things above. How many realize in this life, especially in the United States of America, that's difficult at times? Because about the time you get yourself spiritually set, and Sunday you walk out of God's house, and you're challenged, you're encouraged, you're determined, and I'm going to set my affection on things that are above. You go to work on Monday, you go to the mall on Tuesday, something affects you on Wednesday, and your affection, your attention, and everything that you have, once again, is on the things of this life and the things of this world. Friendship with God means there has to be mutual affection, and that's what you're going to see throughout the life of Abraham. Now, go with me to Genesis 26. It's not just attached by affection. It's also being attached by agreement. How many of you thought you had met a friend that you could get close to, and then it didn't take long, a few conversations, you realize you just disagreed on too many things to truly have a strong relationship? Anybody there? I thank God for the pastor friends that he's given me over the years. There are some that I'm limited in my friendship because we, although we share the same doctrine, we're independent Baptists, our philosophy, methodology, and just general life thoughts and opinions differ too much to create a strong bond. Now, here's what happens for me, my strongest friends, my best friends in life, are those that I was raised with from my youth, college, high school. Brother Keith Stenson, James Hoffmeister, Matt Johnson, these men, Brother St. Pierre, these are men we go way back. Now, I don't go way back as Brother St. Pierre goes. He goes way Civil War way back. I don't go that far back. But with some of these men, we go way back. And Brother James and Brother Matt and I talk about events that happened to us when we were 6, 7, 8, and we're from the same church environment. And so we share not just common doctrine, theology, standards, convictions, but also history. And that just creates a tighter bond and friendship because there's so much that we have in agreement. Now, I want you to think about Abraham and God. They didn't go way back. We look at them because Abraham in his age when he has Isaac and all of those things, but he was born in Ur. And until he believed God and has imputed him for righteousness, God and Abraham were not on the same page. He was not in natural agreement. He was in determined or decided agreement where he said, I've got to get on the same page as God. And Christians, if you're going to have a friendship with God, you've got to do the same thing. And say, if I was 20 years in the world or 30 years in the world, it's not God getting in agreement with me, but me getting in agreement with God if we're going to have a strong friendship. Look what it says in Genesis 26:5. Because that Abraham obeyed my voice, he kept my charge, my commandments, my statutes, and my laws. Do you see what he's saying? Abraham wasn't raised in church. He wasn't raised in junior clubs. He didn't go through a Christian school environment. He didn't have a youth pastor. He didn't even have the Word of God. He wasn't guided in all of this. But he meets with God and he makes a determination in order to have this friendship. My life has to radically change and I have to come into submission, which is more than just obedience. It is in agreement with what God is telling me. And God says, leave Ur. Where? Where are we going? No GPS, no destination, no map. Can you imagine explaining this to a wife? So what are we going to live in, 10? How long? Who knows? Where are we going? That direction? When do we arrive? I have no idea. I don't know very many women that are going to travel with you very long. Ryan can get his wife and family to camp with him for 7 days in a tent. If I asked my wife and family to go 2 days, I know my wife would never think of divorce, but she would think of abandonment is a biblical principle in that case. There they wonder. Now, this is because Abraham had said, I'm going to come into agreement with God, and a close friendship means that the closer you get to someone, it's a simple revelation that you're in agreement. And after a while, here's what happens in marriage. You know, you get married, these young kids, oh, we're such great friends. I might give it 25 years. You're either going to be roommates or you're going to be friends. And that's based on how much you think alike. After you spend a lot of time together, staff and I have only been together 10 years, but it's at a point now, a lot of times Robert's already a step ahead because I don't provide any oversight. I have pastors that ask me, so when you get with your staff, how do you provide oversight? I said, I don't. Everyone's astounded by that. You know why? We think alike. So a lot of times I'll go to check and see if something's done. It was already done. Can we make this happen? It already happened. I know we think enough alike that I don't have to double check the way they're doing it or the timing of their doing it, because there's a mutual thought process that's friendship. And Abraham said, I want to share God's thought process, because if I share his thinking, we're going to get really close. If we're in constant disagreement, our friendship's going to be limited. And Abraham was in such agreement with God's thinking, God says, he's my friend. John 14, here's what Jesus said, verse 21. He that hath my commandments and keepeth them, he it is that loveth me. Why love God? Not if you're not keeping his commandments. Go with me to Genesis chapter 18. So friendship is being attached by affection. Friendship is being attached by agreement. How many of you had a friend that you lost because of a disagreement? It was so severe, your friendship ended. Did you know at times God's going to test your friendship by checking your agreement? You're not angry with that pastor. You're frustrated because you think God ought to change so you don't have to change. Abraham said, I'll turn my life upside down. I'll leave my city. I'll leave my family. I'll wander around in a place that I do not know, seeking for a city that goes way beyond an earthly city, but a heavenly country. That's astounding. Genesis 18. Look what it says in verse 1. We'll read down through verse 10 quickly. I don't want to get locked in here. We'll end our message right here in this chapter this morning. Look what it says, verse 1. The Lord appeared unto him in the plains of Mamre, and he sat at the tent door in the heat of the day. He lifted up his eyes and looked, and lo, three men stood by him. When he saw them, Abram ran to meet them from the tent door, and he bowed himself to the ground. He said, my Lord, if now I have found favor in thy sight, pass not away, I pray thee, from thy servant. Let a little water, I pray you, be fetched, and wash your feet, and rest yourselves under the tree. Do you understand what's taking place here? Most of you know your Bibles well enough to know that Abraham is hosting two angels and the Lord himself. We arrive at a Christophany in the Old Testament. I will fetch, verse 5, a morsel of bread and comfort ye your hearts. It's funny that he says a morsel of bread and then he has Sarah go get 8 pounds of flour. That's pretty wild. He must have thought these boys were heavy eaters. Who said that angels weren't heavy? He wouldn't have had her bring 8 pounds of flour that looked like Pastor Robert. If he said fetch, this man was a southerner. Maybe he was planning on a big batch of biscuits and gravy. That's what I'm thinking. For therefore you come to your servant, and they said, so do as I said. And Abraham hastened into the tent to Sarah and said, make ready quickly 3 measures of fine meal. Knead it. Make cakes upon the earth. Abraham ran unto the herd. Abraham ran. Now, how many of you remember how old Abraham is right here? He's near 100 years. He's running to help them fetch a calf, tender and good. And he gave it to a young man. He hasted to dress it. And he took butter and milk and the calf which he had dressed and set it before them. He stood by them under the tree and they did eat. And they said to him, where is Sarah thy wife? And he said, behold, in the tent. And he said, I will certainly return to thee according to the time of life. Now here's what I want you to see. It's not just an attachment of affection, attachment by agreement, but also it's being attached by availability. You want to know why you call certain people your close friends? Because no matter what you need, they're there. They're not a mechanic, but hey, I got to change this out. Hey, can you come over here and give me a hand? It's not like this is their area of expertise, but you call them up for advice just because they're a friend. They've been divorced 3 times. You're asking them for marital advice. Tell me how that's going to turn out. But they're a friend. And here's what we do in life. That person that always seems to be available. And here's what God did. He showed up. Is the angel Lord? He showed up. Abraham was totally unaware that this day. And Abraham said, this is not an intrusion. I'm going to do everything. Abraham's running around like a little child. He's 100 years old. He says, wait, we're going to make some steaks. This isn't going down to H-E-B or running by Rudy's for some barbecue. He's got to kill a calf, dress it, and cook it. Now, obviously, this is a mutual friend because the Lord has no problem sticking around for all this to happen. Folks, I'll be honest, pastoring in the United States is difficult. It was much easier in Argentina and Mexico. People are more humble. People have slower paced lives. Matter of fact, you got to be careful about making visits. You'd be stuck there for 2 hours. And then when you leave, they'll ask you, why are you in such a hurry? Pastor, we're making a meal. You got to be careful. Too many visits in a row can mean too many meals in a row. Because they're all going to make a meal. And you get in there and say, Pastor, I'm going to get you something to eat. It's 2 o'clock, but we're making it. Have you started yet? Not yet, but we're thinking about it. No, don't do it. These same angels, now the Lord does not go to Sodom, but the angels go to Sodom, and Lot invites them, and they said, no, we don't feel comfortable here. We don't want to stay. But they had just spent an entire day with Abraham feeling absolutely comfortable. But here's what I've seen in the United States. I'm almost at a point, I hate making house visits because you just feel like an intruder. I get concerned about hospital visits. With Americans, you got to be there at the right time, have the right meal, the right, everything has to be perfectly perfect, or you feel like an invader or an intruder or an imposer. I want to pastor you. I want to love you. I want you to love me. I don't want to become an intruder in your life. But you know what? If it's someone that's a friend, I can be there at 11 o'clock at night. I can show up in the middle of a meal. I can interrupt a conversation, and I'm not an intruder. You know why God and Abraham were close and God said of Abraham, he's my friend. He showed up in the middle of the day. Abraham had nothing on. He had nothing in the fridge. No groceries in the cabinet. He had a calf in the pasture. And God showed up and he said, babe, go get every bag of flour we own. We're making some, listen, we're going to make bread. We're going to make whole wheat bread. We're going to make white bread. We're going to make French bread. We're going to give them biscuits and gravy. We're going to make French toast. We're going to make sure no matter what their like or dislike is, we got all the bases covered. This is the Lord of glory. Let's make this a great moment for them. We're going to give them some strip steak. We're going to give them some sirloin. We're going to give them some T-bone, and that way we'll do some medium rare and some well done. And that way they all get the steak exactly the way they like it cooked. That's a friend. Now, Christian, if you struggle with just showing up to God's house on his time, I guarantee you God's going to feel like an intruder on Monday when he wants to say something to you, but you're too busy to listen anyways. A friend says, I don't care what time. Listen, there are only a couple people I know that I would call at 3 or 4 o'clock in the morning if I was broken down on the side of the highway, if I had a flat tire, if I had a leak in the house. There are very few people that I would call. I'm only touching base with my closest friends. And God said, there's only one person on the whole earth that I feel comfortable with just showing up unannounced and having an extended conversation. And that's Abraham. Friendship means there is, that's two people attached by availability because they know he'll be there for me and I'll be there for him. And that means there is a strong friendship. Are you there for God? Go with me to verse 20. Attached by affection, attached by agreement, attached by availability. Now we're going to see attached by the ability to confide. Verse 20, let me ask you a question. Who do you confide in? You have a problem. You're dealing with a situation. You're on the verge of an emotional breakdown. Do you go confide? You know hundreds of people. You're not going to take the risk. You're going to confide in one or two select friends. Have you ever had someone you thought you could confide in and you did and your trust was broken? If you confide in someone that's based on trust and that trust is based on integrity, so when there is you gave them your trust thinking there was integrity, they revealed that they had no integrity. One of the most important things a pastor can do is maintain the trust of people by not revealing what someone else said in confidence. Right. Now, here's what we're going to see in this chapter. Two men with extreme confidence in speaking to each other of very secret, personal, private matters. Look what it says, Genesis chapter 18, verse 20. The Lord said, because the cry of Sodom and Gomorrah is great, and because their sin is grievous, I will go down now and see whether they have done it altogether according to the cry of it which is coming to me. And if not, I will know. And the men turned their faces from thence and went toward Sodom. But, what's it say? Abraham stood yet before the Lord. And Abraham drew near and said, wilt thou also destroy the righteous with the wicked? Peradventure, there be 50 righteous within the city. Wilt thou also destroy and not spare the place for 50 righteous that are therein? That be far from thee to do after this manner, to slay the righteous with the wicked, and that the righteous should be as the wicked. That be far from thee. Shall not the judge of all the earth do right? Do you see how personal this conversation is? God and man? There is such a confidence here that Abraham is pleading with the maker of the universe. You are the righteous judge. Would you slay this city if there were 50 righteous? And God is going to listen to this extended conversation. And God, now we say we want to be friends of God. What we fail to sometimes realize, he knows everything about us. That previous chapter that we read, Sarah's sitting behind the tent door and she laughs. And the angel of the Lord says, Sarah, why did you just laugh? He didn't hear it in his natural ears. He heard it with his supernatural ears. You know why we don't want to get that close to someone who's that honest and that knowing? But here's Abraham. He's so close. This conversation is absolutely incredible when you dissect it. That's a close relationship. But look what it says in the previous verse, verse 17. Go back to verse 17. Here's what the Lord said. The Lord said, shall I hide from Abraham that thing which I do? This is one of the most astounding verses in all of Scripture. Did you catch that? The God of the universe, he's going to destroy a city. He doesn't have to tell anyone. Heaven doesn't know what's going on. All they know is the Lord, the angel of the Lord, has left. He's going down to the earth. He's eating steaks with Abraham. The angels depart. And he says, Abraham, come here. And Abraham said, God, you know that conversation we had about you destroying? He didn't have to tell that to Abraham. He didn't have to tell that to anyone. Why would he reveal a special secret like that to a man? That's called closeness. You know who you say very personal things to, those who you are closest to, because you know that'll never be revealed. They'll help you. Someone else will understand. You've got to be a close, close friend to reach that point of confidence. This isn't just Abraham confiding in God. This is God saying, Abraham. Now, Abraham, read Scripture. There's so much we could read in the message in the text this morning. Can't do it for the sake of time. But watch how often Abraham is told secrets by God that no one else knows. Just God saying, Abraham, come here, buddy. I'll tell you something that no one else in the world knows. No one else in heaven knows. Abraham, the friend. Let me ask you this morning, would God ever divulge you anything for you to divulge to your family because we're close enough? He said, I can trust this man. He says this in the previous verse. Go to verse 19 of the same chapter. Speaking of Abraham, God says, I know him, that he will command his children. Hard for God to get real close to some Christian because he knows they won't command their children. The children command the parents. It's not the parents commanding the children. I've seen this about good parents. Good parents can be really godly until their kids turn about 17 or 18, and then suddenly they struggle in commanding their parents and they give over the command of the home to an 18-year-old. Be careful if you have younger children. Be careful. It may happen to you. I've seen it happen to some really good people. Suddenly those kids start telling their parents where they're going to work and how much time they're going to spend online and how much gaming they're going to do and who they're going to hang out with. And parents just say, yes, sir. I'm talking about parents that used to toe the line, live the book. That's good. You say amen right there. I know him. God says he will command his children and his household after him. And they shall keep the way of the Lord, do justice and judgment. The Lord may bring upon Abraham that which he has spoken of him. This angel of the Lord, these are tight conversations here. Because there's a personal friendship, that means there's an ability to confide. And God is moved. Do you understand that God was moved by Abraham's influence in this conversation? Can you move God? Are you close enough to move God?
Go with me to chapter 22 and we'll be done. Attachment. Two people attached by affection, attached by agreement, attached by availability, attached by the ability to confide. And lastly, attached by allegiance. Look what it says in Genesis 22, verse 1. It came to pass after these things that God did tempt Abraham. Said to him, Abraham, and he said, behold, here am I. And he said, take now thy son, thine only son Isaac, whom thou lovest, and get thee into the land of Moriah, and offer him there for a burnt offering upon one of the mountains which I will tell thee of. And Abraham rose up early in the morning. And the last phrase, he went to the place which God had told him. They're friends because there was an allegiance. Now, I know people don't like this word. We pledge allegiance to the United States of America. Marriage is based on allegiance. Churches. I know. This is disturbing to people anymore. We don't like loyalty. That's a dirty word in 2020. Did you know when you became a member here, there's an allegiance that I have for you and to you? I've defended, if you spend any time here at all as a church member, I've defended you at some point in your membership here, maybe repeatedly. Now, whether or not you did wrong, whether or not you sinned, I didn't defend your sin, I defended you as a person. I want you to know, as your pastor, you don't have to be perfect to be defendable. I will defend your character. I will defend your honor. I will defend who you are. If you're under attack, I will defend who you are, not their sin. We do understand the difference. You understand that. Isn't that what marriage is? You don't step in and say, I'm marrying someone that's perfect. As long as you're perfect, I can defend you. No, you're saying, I took on your last name, and I promise to love, honor, and cherish you. And that means when you're under attack, our allegiance means I step up to the plate to defend you. Now think about Abraham and God here. While we see in Scripture so many chasing false idols, Abraham never chases a false idol. And now this was mutual. Once again, this is mutual. Two people attached by an allegiance. And God said, I'll make of thee a great nation, and I'm going to give you a son, and this is all going to be supernatural. And even here, he says, I don't care what your age is, I'm still going to fulfill my promise. Now, can you imagine, here's Sarah, she's just totally frustrated, I'm barren, this is all going down in smoke, we're not going to get God's promise, it's commonplace, just go take Hagar. And he had a son. Let me ask you this, why at this point did God not say, I'm done with Abram? I mean, God had a plan. Do we realize what Abraham did with that? Abraham basically said, God, you're not capable of keeping your promise, so I'm going to help you out. This was supposed to be the seed of Sarah. He was going to make it the seed of Hagar. Don't you think that this should have eliminated him from the promise of God? Let me ask you this. Don't you think that you would have changed your allegiance to a person that you made a promise to if they didn't keep their end of the bargain? Some of you have friends so close that even when they fail you, you remain attached by allegiance. You know what we see here? God never abandoned Abram. Abram never abandoned God. That's called a close friendship. Now, here's what Abram did. He separated from the world. He did have to make a choice. Christian, if there's anything in this world that you have, that you still love, if there's anything left in 2020 to love of this world, God still makes it very clear. Love not the world, any things that are in the world. If any man love the world, what? The love of the Father is not, period. I mean, this is black and white. Is not in him. James 4:4 says what? Adulterers and adulteress and adulterers. If a man loved this world, what's that make him with God? An enemy of God. He walked away from Ur and never looked back. And God said, that's my friend. He walked away from the wayward one. He walked away from Lot and never looked back. Some of you can't be a friend of God because you can't let go of the world. There's some Christians that can't be a friend of God because you can't let go of the wayward. Trying to be a friend of God and still the wayward at the same time. And God said, I can't do that. You got to make a choice at some point. Well, let me ask you this. Friendship, close friendship, is really personal. Here's what we do. We have a lot of people that we know,
a lot of people that we would casually call friends. But if you invite them over, you know, an hour, two, time out, head home, please. So close friends, doesn't matter how long they stay. It can be a morning visit, it can be an evening visit, it can be a late night visit. It doesn't matter. The length of that stay doesn't matter. The conversation could be boring. Listen, you sit down and watch football together and they don't even like football. Because it's about friendship, it's not about football. How uncomfortable would you feel? I'm not talking about a visit. God just setting up camp, sticking around. Not that you claim he's your friend, would God say, that's my friend.